Welcome to The Leading Tone, your source for anything classical or jazz. I'm Fernando.
And I'm Alex. Thanks for joining us today on The Leading Tone podcast. Today's discussion is long overdue. Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart is a Leading Tone favorite, and we're excited to discuss the context of his music today.
To the famous American composer Leonard Bernstein, Mozart's works were quoted as being bathed in a glitter that could have come only from the 18th century, from that age of light, lightness, and enlightenment. Over it all hovers the greater spirit that is Mozart's, the spirit of compassion, of universal love, even of suffering, a spirit that knows no age, that belongs to all ages.
Bernstein's words will be the theme of our episode today. What is the spirit of Mozart's music that has persevered all these years?
And why do classical musicians take Mozart so seriously? Find out the answers on today's episode of The Leading Tone. We begin our journey in 1756. It has been 6 years since the passing of Johann Sebastian Bach. The roots of the classical period have begun to take shape. The unique Baroque ideals are giving way to the rigid nature of the classical period.
Born in Salzburg, Wolfgang Amadeus was the son of composer and violinist Leopold Mozart, his seventh and final son. As far as is known, Leopold was entirely responsible for the education of his children, which by no means was restricted to music, also including mathematics, reading, writing, literature, languages, and even dancing. Moral and religious training were also a part of his curriculum as well.
By age 4, he had already learned to play anonymous minuets and other binary form works, as well as music by his father and C.P.E. Bach, among others. You're listening to Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart's Minuet in G Major, K1E. The child prodigy wrote this work at the age of 5. According to Leopold, Wolfgang's earliest known compositions, a miniature Andante and Allegro K1A and 1B, were written in 1761, when he was 5. More substantial are the binary form minuets in F major, K2 and K5, and the Allegro in B flat major, K3, composed between January and July 1762.
At the age of 6, Mozart and his older sister, Maria Anna, were taken on a tour to play for Maria Theresa, at the time Archduchess of Austria and Queen of Hungary and Bohemia, and various ambassadors and nobles as well. This is an incredible honor for the young Mozart.
And his sister as well. Maria Theresa gifted them with court clothing, which can be seen in the 1763 portraits of the Mozart family, thought to be by Pietro Antonio Lorenzoni. Count Karl von Zinzendorf, later a high state official, wrote in his diary that the poor little fellow plays marvelously. He is a child of spirit, lively, charming. His sister's playing is masterly. An interesting encounter also happened at this event. Mozart, at age 6, met Archduchess, later the Queen of France, Marie Antoinette, who was 2 months his senior. It's said that she helped Mozart when he slipped on a polished floor. In return, Mozart proposed marriage.
With this sudden, almost comedic, proposal, you begin to see one of the key characteristics of Mozart's personality, as well as his music. His wry humor. In the years 1763 to 1773, Mozart solidified himself as a traveling performer and composer. This can be heard in particular in his stellar 25th Symphony. By the time of his 25th Symphony, written in 1773, Mozart had already established himself as a serious composer in the realm of the symphony, at such a young age, nonetheless.
This work in particular takes us back to the Bernstein quote at the beginning of this episode. In the quote, Bernstein says there is a spirit of compassion, of universal love, even of suffering, a spirit that knows no age, that belongs to all ages. I think this is incredibly poignant because it, again, makes the point of Mozart being a person, of being a normal person with a range of emotions and a lot of life experiences. And we'll talk more about that throughout the episode.
We're so far removed from when Mozart was alive that I think people do tend to forget that Mozart was a person with his own struggles and successes, as well as just, I mean, failures. I mean, his strained relationship with his father was one that caused him a lot of frustration throughout his life, as well as the death of his mother, who he was a little bit closer to. These things really help form Mozart into a person, as well as form his music. And in that way, Mozart's music is taken quite seriously. But I think we could also make the argument that maybe Mozart's music is taken a little bit too seriously. Because as I mentioned previously, the humor is also a big part of Mozart's personality, and it's definitely inserted into a lot of his pieces.
Right. It's the personality of Mozart that really comes through, and to reference a little bit of the Bernstein quote again, compassion and universal love, you see that with Mozart in his love for animals and the world in general. But his love for animals is very clear in his music because it comes through with this really joyous and light and kind of frolicking sound a lot of the times. And I think that that has to be portrayed in the music as well and not taken so harshly or so strictly. A lot of the times it is a really kind of just leaping around like a frog instead of jumping from one lily pad to one lily pad. Sometimes you gotta dip in the pond as a little example there.
Oh no, I love that metaphor right there. And I think that the Bernstein quote, again, the second half of this kind of reflects even more of our point here. He also says that Mozart's music reflects this age of light and lightness and enlightenment. That's exactly our point here. There is a positivity and a light to Mozart's music that you'll definitely hear throughout this episode. In terms of the ramifications of Mozart and his music, I feel like this lightness and this enlightenment is adopted even more over time. In pop culture, Mozart has become synonymous with classical music and refined tastes. This perception is part of the reason why we believe Mozart is taken a little bit too seriously, because this legacy that he's built up is just almost like a deity in music. And Mozart is a person and a composer, just like anyone living and composing and making a living today.
Right, and there's this misinterpretation of light music from the classical period being considered regal, or
right,
being considered to be very noble and very stuffy, serious. So again, that lightness, which is so great in Mozart's music and so almost emphatic because of how stately it can be or how refined it can be taken just a little too seriously.
I completely agree with you, Fernando, and we have a great example for you, actually, to illustrate our point. This example is one of Mozart's most famous works and most performed, his Eine kleine Nachtmusik. Familiar? With how seriously this work is taken, the general public does not realize there are other movements of this work even. and they just so happen to be incredibly diverse and evoke a lot of emotion. Like, for example, in the second movement of Eine kleine Nachtmusik.
Or more court-like in the third movement.
And quite tuneful and fun in the final fourth movement.
The point of this analysis is to showcase the range in Mozart's music. There is no place for elitism or stuffiness in his compositions. Mozart himself didn't even always take his music too seriously. A great example is, in fact, his work titled A Musical Joke. Mozart's intention with the musical joke is to not only poke fun at melodic and harmonic conventions of the time, but the less than competent composers of the time as well.
We'll continue to discuss and showcase both the spirit and humor of Mozart's music as we continue our analysis. Listening to Mozart's 40th Symphony, the first movement, a landmark, tuneful, and fun work written in 1788. To move back to Mozart's biography,
by the age of 13, Mozart had achieved a significant local reputation in Salzburg as both a composer and a performer. On October 27, 1769, he was appointed, on an honorary basis, concertmeister at the Salzburg court. He wrote a lot of sacred music for the court, but was much more inspired to compose secular vocal and instrumental music.
Friction with Archbishop Colloredo caused Mozart to petition to be released from employment at Salzburg in 1777, and he was dismissed.
After leaving Austria, Mozart moved to France. He lived in Paris with his mother.
Mozart claimed to have been offered the position of organist at Versailles, but he declined. Letters show he did not like French music whatsoever, and he was not paid for a flute and harp concerto at the court of Guisnes.
Mozart's mother fell ill and passed on July 3, 1778. This triggered some friction between Mozart and his father in letters, but many believe this friction mostly came from the father trying to emotionally handle the death of his wife.
Mozart returned to Salzburg in 1779, and took over as court organist from 1779 to 1782. While holding this position from November 1780 to January 1781, Mozart was in Munich writing the opera Seria Idomene. The opera's premiere ended up being very successful.
However, in March 1781, Mozart traveled to Vienna with Archbishop Colloredo for the accession of Emperor Joseph II. Mozart was treated poorly by the Archbishop almost immediately after experiencing success in Munich. Mozart also saw many freelance opportunities in Vienna.
Colloredo was again dissatisfied with Mozart's lack of output for the church and the court, specifically, and replaced him with Michael Haydn after Mozart asked to be discharged. This led to a quote that perfectly demonstrates Mozart's humor. "With a kick on my arse, by order of our worthy Prince Archbishop," a quote from a letter on June 9th of 1781, perfectly demonstrating once again the humor of Mozart and a little bit of sarcasm, which you'll hear in a lot of his music.
You're listening to Mozart's 12 variations on A Vous Dirige Maman, more commonly known as Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. By the end of 1781, Mozart had established himself as the finest keyboard player in Vienna, seriously contested by Muzio Clementi.
Once on his own, however, his finances were known to be quite unstable. He married Constanze Weber in 1782 after pressure from their parents because of their already intimate relationship. Mozart and his father had another aggressive exchange of letters because of his departure from Salzburg, his relationship with Constanze, and the postponements of his return to Salzburg with Constanze. Mozart was seeking independence from his father, and his father was not willing to give it.
1784 to 1788 was a very prolific period for Mozart. It includes Le Nozze di Figaro, Don Giovanni, and Symphonies 38 to 41, among other works. These famous works, however, are not what we'll focus on today. Instead, let's talk about his pet bird. Mozart, in fact, had a pet bird. A starling, to be specific.
A theme from his Piano Concerto No. 17 in G, which you are hearing now, is nearly identical to a melody Mozart transcribed from one of the tunes he taught the bird.
Mozart had a whole funeral procession for this bird, in which everyone was heavily veiled, and those that were capable of singing were required to sing hymns. He also wrote a poetic epitaph and included a headstone in his garden, where the bird was buried.
Thus, another work by Mozart that is charged with emotion, but this one, a melancholy loss of his beloved bird friend.
Mozart's poem, translated by Robert Spaethling into modern English, goes as follows. "Here rests a bird called Starling, a foolish little darling. He was still in his prime, a when he ran out of time, and my sweet little friend came to a bitter end, creating a terrible smart deep in my heart. Gentle reader, shed a tear, for he was dear, sometimes a bit too jolly, and at times quite folly, but nevermore a bore. I bet he is now up on high, praising my friendship to the sky, which I render without tender, for when he took his sudden leave, which brought to me such grief, he was not thinking of the man who writes and rhymes as no one can.
Even in his sadness, there seems to be a bit of humor in Mozart's words. Mozart had a few other strengths besides music and, like you just heard, poetry. He enjoyed playing billiards and was apparently quite good at it. He would even compose while doing so. Very talented fellow, Mozart.
Yes, maybe a predecessor to modern-day rappers. Let's move on to Mozart's legacy and a question to once again consider. What is the spirit of Mozart's music that has persevered all these years? In terms of his legacy, Mozart has become the poster child of the classical period. Unlike Haydn, his senior by 24 years, and Beethoven, his junior by 15, Mozart attempted most of the art music forms of his time and excelled at them all.
Mozart is most commonly linked with this conception of prodigiousness, being a prodigy in music. And while that is true, we've discussed a lot of his life and his struggles with his father and then coping with the death of his mother as well. Mozart had quite a difficult life in a lot of ways. He was very fortunate in some, but like any person today, he struggled a lot. But throughout all of that, there's still that wit and that charm to his music that has just persevered and, to me, is what keeps me coming back to Mozart's music all these years later.
Right, and it's the same for me. I love so much of his personality that comes through his music. And another thing that comes through his music is his interest, his various interests in multiple things, from animals all the way to Italian operas. And right. So he ends up writing all this music in different genres and in different styles that represent a whole slew of different things.
And then that distaste for French music as well. You see a lot of Italian and Austrian influences, particularly Vienna and Salzburg, and then the music of Bach before. But that French music, he stays away like the plague.
Right.
There's almost no characteristics of that in his music, especially in the music that we chose for you today.
And just from the music we heard today, you can see all these different types of music that he's composing at the time. From opera to symphonic writing and to chamber music. What was Mozart not composing?
And in terms of that well-roundedness there really hasn't been a composer up until this point in history that has been successful in each one of these genres. There have been quite a few that have dabbled, but to this scope, I would not say there has been a composer that has been quite this successful in every genre, and for that, Mozart should be commended. In general, besides his compositional prowess, I believe this agelessness is based in that emotional range in Mozart's music, including everything from the gentle and refined that the general public might know him for, or maybe more surface-level listeners. But there's this genuine humor and humanness and light, as Bernstein would put it, to this music that really brings it alive and keeps it relevant even today. And that's why it's still being studied. And everybody who's anybody in music has given their opinion in Mozart in some way, shape, or form.
There's something very charming and endearing about Mozart's music. And I think a lot of other composers thought the same thing. Many composers use Mozart and his style as an inspiration. For example, check out the 20th century Russian prodigy Sergei Prokofiev and his classical symphony. I think you'll notice some similarities with Mozart's classical tendencies. I don't want you all to think that we're coming from a place of love for Mozart that is disingenuous, that is just a part of being a Mozart groupie or being part of the academic scene. I think our love for Mozart comes from his humor, from his personality, and for his overall love that just comes through his music.
And I certainly think that Prokofiev and his classical symphony, which you just listened to, is a great representation of that, and a reflection of not only Prokofiev's feelings about Mozart, but our feelings as well.
Mozart died on December 5th, 1791, from illness diagnosed as rheumatic inflammatory fever. Although it is a popular story, there is no credible evidence that Salieri, a popular Italian language opera composer in Vienna, poisoned Mozart. Mozart's death left his now popular Requiem incomplete. The Requiem was first completed by one of Mozart's students, Franz Xaver Süssmayr. Modern completions have now been offered, with American musicologist Robert D. Levens being favored by many. We hope you've enjoyed our in-depth analysis of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart and his music.
The perseverance of his music is a testament to its compositional and emotional staying power.
This has been another episode of the Leading Tone Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Be sure to find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, or wherever you listen to your podcast.
If you haven't caught up, be sure to check out some of our previous episodes as well.
I'm Fernando.
And I'm Alex, and thanks for listening.